with you.
Merry Christmas. We pray God's blessings upon our time together. God comes to us wrapped in flesh and blood. God comes to us to save us. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear the Christmas story once again, and we know that everything God does, He does for us. A few words on our service for this evening. Our opening hymn, number 379, O Come All Ye Faithful. Please stand as the cross enters into the church. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. That's on page 151 and following. 151 and following. We have a worship insert for today, Christmas Eve. Readings are on one side, propers are on the other. We've had our Advent fast of not singing the Gloria, but now, Christmas Eve, the fast is over. And we sing with the angels, the song of the angels, the song for us, for all time. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day. The greatest gift that the world has ever seen, your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords, wrapped in flesh and blood. Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, born for us and for our salvation. Heavenly Father, help us to hear anew the Christmas story. Help us to take all of our hopes and all of our fears and bring them to the manger, to the cross, to the empty tomb. And help us know, dear Father, that Christmas is about God's gift of His Son, Jesus, for us. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen for the life of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 379.
Oh, my God, be faithful, joyful, and joyful.
Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 in your hymnal, page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This time I invite you to turn to the bulletin insert. We'll sing the introit together.
The Lord said to me, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you. As for me, I have sent my King on Zion, my holy hill. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the now and will be forever. Amen. The Lord said to me, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you. As for me, I have sent my King on Zion, my holy."
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son,
with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer. We may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our judge. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the Nativity of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on this day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak together the gradual as it's printed on your insert. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. The epistle is from Titus, chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, number 367, Angels from the Realms of Glory, number 367.
Thank you.
sovereign King. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Please be seated. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this evening: the gospel reading from Luke chapter 2, especially those words with the angel's message to the shepherd, the terrified shepherd, and the good news of great joy. That is for all people. It is for you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Over the last several weeks, we have heard almost ad nauseum Christmas music over the air. Chestnuts roasting by the open fire. I'll be home for Christmas. All of the standards or classics. There was one line in one Christmas carol, it's even in our hymnal, that stuck out in my mind again and again as I heard it. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The hopes and fears of all the years. Your hopes and fears are met in Jesus. This day, this Christmas Eve. So, that begs the question, doesn't it? What are your hopes and fears that find their meeting in Jesus? What do you hope for? What are you afraid of? These are two questions that most of our Christmas carols, most of our traditions surrounding Christmas really don't want to take seriously, do they? About as serious as we can get is we hope maybe the Huskers will go to a bowl game next year. We hope that in that present wrapped under the tree is the thing we actually asked for. We hope that people won't fight at the Christmas dinner table like they did last year. These are the things that we hope for. What are we afraid of? Well, we're afraid of that Christmas dinner fight. But we're afraid that maybe there won't be enough money in the checking account to pay for all the things that we've purchased to make people's Christmas the way we want them to be, happy. We're afraid of maybe this being the last Christmas that we have with our friend, our loved one, our spouse, our child. We're afraid of growing old. We're afraid of being alone. We're afraid of what's going on in our country. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in Jesus this night. Really? Yes. Really. Luke chapter 2 gives us an amazing journey, doesn't it? We journey with Mary and Joseph. They're simply obeying the law of the land. Caesar Augustus wants more money. He needs a census so he knows who he can tax. Caesar Augustus, who has declared himself to be God in the flesh. Caesar Augustus issues a decree. Everybody has to go to their hometown to be counted, to be registered, so they can be taxed. So Mary and Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth in Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Remember the last line of that first verse? The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. What is going on in Bethlehem that will encompass every hope and every fear of every human being who has ever lived? We know the story of Mary and Joseph not being able to find lodging, no room in the inn. They're with the animals. And the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn. She wrapped him in strips of cloth, diapers, swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger. But meanwhile, something is going on just outside of the city. Shepherds are keeping watch over their flocks by night, keeping watch over the sheep, sheep that would grow up and be sacrificed on the altar, sheep that would shed their life, their blood on the altar, paying for the sins of the people. The shepherds knew all about life and death. The shepherds, out in the dark, all alone, they and their sheep, when suddenly the lights come on. But there are no lights. Suddenly, it is as bright as day, or maybe even more. As these shepherds are keeping watch, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Why do you think the shepherds were afraid? My friends, we have such a watered-down, Hallmark card view of angels, we can't comprehend what's really going on here. Angels are mentioned everywhere throughout Scripture. Angel means messenger. They are bringing a message from God to the people. And angels are not the cute, cuddly little cherubs that we see on our greeting cards or our Christmas special. The first time God's Word talks about angels, Genesis chapter 3. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become one like us, knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. The angel that guarded the entrance to the Garden of Eden was a reminder of Adam and Eve's sin. The holy angel sent by a holy God reminded Adam and Eve and all of Adam and Eve's descendants, including you and me, that unless you are holy, you cannot approach God. Remember Isaiah 6? When he has the vision of God seated on the throne, and the angels are flying, singing their heavenly song, "Holy, holy, holy." What does Isaiah do? "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. I come from a people of unclean lips. The angels are reminders of our sin and our unholiness. Several times in the Gospel of Luke, angels appear to bring a message to Zechariah, to Mary, to the shepherds. Each time the people are filled with fear, and each time the message from the angel is the same. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. The words from God through the angel are for you. Fear not. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? When we are confronted with our sin, we're afraid. We're afraid of getting caught. We're afraid of the consequences. Ultimately, we're afraid of God. God has created us. God has set the rules. God has said, "Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy." And when we are confronted with God and we know that we are not holy, we're afraid. So what do we do in our fear? We create our own gods. Gods who don't make us afraid. Oh, they may let us down like Husker football, but at least they don't make us afraid, do they? We create our own gods in our own image because we don't want to be afraid. My friends, what do we do when we're afraid? Not only do we create our own idols, we stay away from the one true God. We don't want to hear His word. We don't want to hear His voice. We don't want to hear His message. Makes us uncomfortable. It makes us afraid. The shepherds are afraid. Not a little bit afraid. Not kind of afraid. I love the King James language here. They were sore afraid. They were as afraid as you can possibly be, shaking in their boots, afraid. And then God speaks. God speaks through this holy, holy, holy divine messenger. God speaks through the angel. Fear not. Why? For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. You hear that? Good news of great joy for all people, for the whole world. Good news. Now, maybe he has the shepherd's attention. Maybe, even in the midst of our fear or our apathy, either one, two sides to the same coin, maybe he has our attention as well. I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day, unto you is born in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. My friends, the good news for the shepherds, the good news for you and me, the good news for the whole world is that God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, for you. He is your Lord. He is your God. He is your Savior. You don't want a Savior? You don't think you have anything to be saved from? Then God has nothing for you this Christmas. Jesus is for sinners. Jesus is for sin-sick sinners who know they cannot save themselves. Jesus is for sinners who have already worshiped at all the idols that this world offers and that we create in our heart, and they have let us down, every one. All of our self-made gods that have not fulfilled our hopes, that have not taken away our fears. Jesus is a Savior for sinners. My friends, are you courageous enough on this Christmas Eve to admit that you are a sinner? Are you courageous enough this Christmas Eve to admit that you cannot save yourself and that you need a Savior? This was the message from the angels to the shepherds for all people, but this is God's message tonight for you. Unto you this day in the city of David. A Savior has been born unto you. The shepherds didn't know what to think. This is pretty wild. This is pretty crazy. An angel came and talked to us. They could have went back to sleep. They could have went back to tending their flocks. After all, their livelihood depended on it. But instead, let's go check this out. Let's go see this thing that the Lord has told us about. They went on a journey. They went on a hunt. They went on a hunt to find this baby, this Savior, this Christ, this Messiah. Had God not told them where to look, they would still be looking to this day. But God said, "You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." My friends, God always tells you where He is for you. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to guess. You don't have to grope around in the dark. God promises that wherever His word is proclaimed in its truth and purity, there He is for you. God promises that wherever His sacraments are administered, according to the command and promise of God, the waters of holy baptism, the bread, the wine, which are Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper, there He is for you. To fulfill your hopes, to drive away your fears. Do you notice that when the shepherds went and found the baby Jesus, just as the angel had told them, there was no more fear? The fear's gone. What was it that took away the sore afraidness of the shepherds? Jesus for them. Jesus, a Savior for them. My friends, how easy it is on this Christmas Eve to get all wrapped up in the family traditions, the trees and the tinsels and the songs and the food, and to miss the fact that the hopes and the fears of all the years, your hopes and your fears, are met in this babe in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths. God's gift for you. This babe does not stay tiny and in a manger. Jesus, born to live for you. And that's exactly what He does. He grows up. He fulfills God's law, God's holy law, God's condemning law for each one of us. He fulfills it. Why? Because he can? No. He does it for you. Jesus doesn't sin. Jesus doesn't have to die. That's our fate. The wages of sin is death. Jesus freely and willingly takes your sin and my sin and the sin of the world into himself and onto himself all the way to Calvary's cross, bleeding and dying the death we deserve. Why? He does it for you. He is your Savior for your forgiveness, your life, and your salvation. Jesus really dies on that Friday we call good. But death cannot hold the one who knows no sin. Jesus, who was dead, is now alive, never to die again. Why? God's absolution for the whole world. The payment of Jesus Christ is sufficient for all sin, for all people, for all time. Jesus rises from the dead for you. Forgiveness, life, and salvation earned by Jesus, freely available. How do I get it? How much does it cost? No, that's not how God works. God doesn't bargain with the very life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He gives it away, full and free. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Hear my word, receive my gifts. Your sins are forgiven. Your guilt is gone. Perfect love drives away all fear. Jesus Christ is perfect love for you, not only on Christmas Eve, but on each and every day that we draw our breath. My friends, for all those who are in Christ Jesus, and that means baptized in his name, clinging to his word and promise, there is therefore now no condemnation. My friends, this is the good news of great joy. That is for all the people. This is the good news of great joy that is for you. Jesus Christ is born, Lord and Savior. The hopes and fears of all the years, your hopes and fears of all the years are met in Jesus tonight and tomorrow and forever. What do you think the angels did the next day? We don't know. Went back to being God's messengers wherever God sent them, worshiping God and serving his people. What do you think the shepherds did the next day? Well, certainly they took care of their flocks. They went back to their vocation. But do you think the shepherds were ever the same? Do you think that this good news of great joy that was for all the people that they witnessed, that they heard, that they experienced, that they sang about, the babe that they saw lying in a manger just as God had told them? Do you think that that was something that, maybe once a year they remembered and celebrated? Or do you think that their entire lives were transformed from that point on? My friends, our hopes and our fears have completely been changed because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. The Apostle Paul says it this way in our epistle. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope. Our blessed hope, what is it? The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. My friends, that's you. That's me. That's all who are in Christ Jesus. We cannot hear the good news of Christmas and remain neutral. We either believe it or we don't. For all who believe that this Jesus is their Savior, their Lord, their Christ, their God, and their Savior from sin, the hopes and fears of all the years are swallowed up in Jesus this night. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our hopes, our fears in Christ Jesus, today and always. Amen. Now, having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess our faith in him. This evening, we use the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158. Please stand as you're able. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
This time we continue with the prayer of the church. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you alone are worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere. And on this Christmas Eve, we give you humble and sincere thanks for all the innumerable blessings which you have bestowed upon us without any merit or worthiness on our part. Especially this day, we thank and praise you for your incarnation and your birth in Bethlehem, for your holy life in our place, for your death to forgive us all our sins, and for your resurrection to declare that we shall live forever with you in your eternal kingdom. We also praise you for preserving for us your saving word in the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine. Provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Send laborers into your harvest. Open the door of faith to all of those who do not know you. in mercy bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ. And help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Bestow your grace upon all the nations of the earth. Bless our country, its inhabitants, and all of those who are in authority over us. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. We commend to you all those who are suffering persecution this Christmas season. Watch over them and bless them as they celebrate Christmas in prisons and in hidden places, avoiding conflict. We also commend to you the care of our schools so that our children may grow in useful knowledge and Christian virtue and thus bring forth wholesome fruits of life. Defend us from all calamity by fire, water, war, pestilence, scarcity, famine, or any other sort of evil. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings. Let all useful arts flourish among us. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken. Be the helper of the sick and the needy. Be the comforter of those who are distressed and all of those who sorrow. Be especially with those in our own midst, including Ardith, Dorothy, Victor, Ernest, Levon, Jan, Joe, Alvin, Tom, Diana, Maureen, Galen, Barb, the congregation of Zion Lutheran Church, the family and friends and congregation of Pastor Luis Coronado, who was murdered last week, the family of Jim, the family of Ron, the family of Marcel, and all others whom we name in our hearts. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, God made man, in sincere repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. As we are but strangers and pilgrims, help us by a true faith in the godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you give us to do while it is still day, before the night comes when no one can work. When our last day does come, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, God in the flesh, for you. At this time, we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship tonight. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of great joy for all people would be yours today and always in Jesus. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
We continue with the offertory, page 159.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the of you, O Jerusalem.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Please stand for our post-communion canticle, the Nunc Dimittis, page 165.
Let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people. A light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.